Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you're joining us today, you're probably trying to make sense of a world that just feels like it's accelerating every single week.
Oh, absolutely. It's moving incredibly fast right now.
Yeah, and we've got this massive stack of tech industry dispatches on the table today, pulled straight from the March 2026 edition of the Tech and Legion newsletter.
Right, which is just packed this month.
It really is. So our mission today is to clearly lay out this objective, right? We need to unpack the simultaneous collisions happening across the industry right now. We're looking at this intense tug of war between hardware flexibility, an unprecedented explosion in computational demand, and the highly controversial rise of what's being called agentic AI.
Yeah, and setting the tone early here, I have to say, looking at today's sources, they don't just tell us what's new. They show a complete rewriting of the rules of personal computing.
A complete rewrite?
Completely. The old compromises you and I and consumers everywhere used to just accept, they're vanishing.
Yeah. Okay, let's unpack this, because I want to start with this hardware revolution. Because what we're seeing is a fundamental shift in how physical devices are actually designed. I want to take you to MWC 2026 in Barcelona.
Oh, yeah. The Lenovo reveal?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lenovo revealed something that feels straight out of a sci-fi novel. They unveiled the world's first foldable gaming handheld.
Yeah.
And look, as someone who has awkwardly tried to balance a bulky laptop on a tiny airplane tray table.
We've all been there.
Right. Just desperately wishing I had a small handheld console instead. This particular dispatch really caught my eye. So what exactly are we looking at here?
Well, you're looking at an entirely new form factor. Picture a standard compact gaming handheld, something you could easily toss into a small backpack.
Like a Steam Deck or a Switch.
Exactly. But it features a 7.7-inch flexible OLED display.
Okay.
But when you need more space, you literally unfold the screen and it expands into an 11.6-inch gaming tablet.
That is wild.
And on top of that, it has detachable controllers, very much a nod to that old Nintendo Switch design. So you can hold it, you can prop it up on a desk as a standalone monitor, or just use it as a traditional tablet.
So it's essentially a console, a tablet, and a PC, just seamlessly mashed into one device.
What's fascinating here is that consumers no longer have to choose between the portability of a pocket-sized device and the screen real estate of a laptop. They really want both.
Right.
Historically, mobile computing forced this grand compromise. If you wanted graphical power and a big screen, you sacrificed portability entirely.
Yeah, you're lugging a brick around.
Exactly. And if you wanted to play on the subway, you stared at a fixed, cramped little screen. Lenovo's new architecture erases that boundary. The user now has the agency to prioritize maximum portability or a larger display, depending on the exact minute of their day.
It sounds like the ultimate scenario of wanting it all and actually getting it. But Lenovo is far from the only company making these sweeping changes to our daily hardware. Let's pivot over to Apple's recent special experience event.
Spanning New York, London, and Shanghai. Massive event.
Massive. And the star of the show there was the brand new MacBook Air, featuring the M5 chip. Now, the headline claim is that it's the world's fastest thin and light laptop. But behind that marketing speak, what is actually powering this leap?
The core of the M5's performance really comes down to its manufacturing process. It's built on TSMC's second generation 3-nanometer architecture. The industry refers to it as N3P.
Okay, I hear terms like 3-nanometer thrown around a lot in these tech newsletters.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us listening who aren't semiconductor engineers, what does shrinking a chip down to that size actually accomplish?
Think of a computer chip like a sprawling city connected by highways where the cars are electrical signals.
Right.
When you move to a 3-nanometer process, you are essentially shrinking the entire city. You're bringing all the buildings closer together.
So the commute is shorter.
Precisely. Because the electrical signals have less physical distance to travel, they reach their destinations faster. Crucially, because they aren't traveling as far, they generate less friction. And less friction translates to less heat and far less battery drain.
Oh, wow. Okay, that helps make sense of the benchmark numbers in this dispatch, because honestly, they seem to defy standard physics.
Yeah.
Let me use an analogy here for you listening. Imagine you own a really sleek sports car, right? And the manufacturer comes along and says, hey, we swapped your engine. Your car now drives 25% faster, but somehow it uses 15% less fuel.
Right, which sounds impossible.
Usually more horsepower requires more gas. But because of that shrunken city architecture you just described, Apple is claiming a significant performance boost while extending battery life. Break down the specific M4 to M5 numbers for us.
The metrics are striking. Compared to the previous generation, the M5 single-core performance jumps 20%. Yeah, moving from a benchmark score of 3,200 up to 3,840. Multi-core performance, which is what handles your heavy multitasking and complex software, leaps by 25%, going from 12,500 to 15,625.
That's a huge generation over generation leap.
It is, yet while doing all that extra heavy lifting, the power consumption drops from 15 watts down to 12.75 watts.
Pushing that much power on less than 13 watts is just wild.
And they also doubled the base storage to 512 gigabytes, removing a really long-standing customer pain point.
Finally. But, you know, while the MacBook Air was the performance darling of the event, there was another announcement that felt like a total curveball. Apple launched the iPhone 17e,
Yes.
and they priced it at just $599. That feels completely out of character for a company known for premium, high-margin pricing. Aren't they risking cannibalizing their own high-end market with a price tag like that?
It's a highly aggressive, very deliberate budget strategy. Apple is actively attacking the mid-tier market to widen its funnel. The iPhone 17e includes features that were previously reserved for flagship models. Specifically, we're talking about MagSafe support and their highly durable Ceramic Shield 2 glass.
So they're giving you the premium feel for $599.
Exactly. By lowering the barrier to entry with a device that still feels incredibly premium, they capture a massive demographic of cost-conscious buyers. The strategy is straightforward. Once those users are locked into the Apple ecosystem, dealing with iMessage and iCloud,
They're trapped.
well, they are statistically far more likely to eventually purchase an Apple Watch, an iPad, or that new M5 MacBook Air. It's a long-term ecosystem play.
Getting people into the walled garden while the gate fee is temporarily discounted.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have this picture of hyper-efficient, highly capable local hardware sitting on our desks and in our pockets. Here's where it gets really interesting. Because while our local devices are sipping battery and running beautifully, the demands we are about to place on the cloud are reaching apocalyptic levels.
That is not an overstatement.
Let's look at the dispatch regarding NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang's warning at GTC 2026. He stood on stage and warned the tech world about a looming 1000x explosion in AI token demand. Why the sudden panic?
The panic stems from a fundamental shift in how artificial intelligence actually operates. We are transitioning from conversational AI to what the industry calls agentic AI.
Agentic AI, let's define that for the listener. Conversational AI is what most of us are used to, right? You type a prompt into a chatbot, it writes you a poem or recipe, and the interaction ends.
Spot on. To understand Jensen Huang's warning, we need to talk about how the compute for that interaction is measured. AI processes information using tokens.
Right.
Think of a token as a digital syllable or a piece of a word. Every time the AI reads your prompt and generates a response, it spends tokens. For the sake of easy math, let's say a standard conversational request consumes 1,000 tokens. That is a single closed transaction.
Okay, so 1,000 tokens for me to ask a chatbot to summarize a PDF. How does an agentic system change that math?
Agentic AI doesn't wait for step-by-step instructions. It operates autonomously toward a broad goal. Instead of asking a chatbot to summarize a single document, you tell an AI agent, "Research the competitive landscape for our new product launch, synthesize the financial data from our top three competitors, write a comprehensive strategy report, and email it to my department heads by 5 p.m."
Oh, wow. That is definitely not a single transaction.
Not even close. To achieve that broad goal, the agent will autonomously execute perhaps 100 different sequential tasks in the background.
Without asking you for permission.
Right. It performs multiple web searches, reads through dozens of complex financial filings, writes code to scrape specific data sets, formats the findings, and interfaces with your email client. Every single one of those autonomous background steps requires tokens.
So it's compounding.
Massively. So if your simple chatbot prompt was 1,000 tokens, this single autonomous workflow might consume 100,000 tokens. Now multiply that exponentially increased demand by millions of global users relying on these agents continuously throughout the day.
That level of constant background processing sounds staggering. What does that actually mean for the physical infrastructure of the internet? Because we always talk about the cloud, but the cloud is really just buildings full of computers.
And those buildings are about to be severely strained. We're going to need data centers that are significantly larger, 1,000 times larger, and far more power dense than anything currently in existence. The infrastructure implications are daunting.
What are we talking about here? Land. Power.
It requires vast tracts of land, entirely new power grids just to supply the electricity, and millions of gallons of water for cooling systems to keep the servers from literally melting down.
Wow.
From an economic standpoint, Huang's warning makes one thing abundantly clear. The specialized graphics processing units, or GPUs, required to run these models are going to remain in a state of severe shortage. Anyone hoping GPU prices would drop will be waiting a very long time. They will likely rise.
Okay, to make this abstract concept of agentic AI tangible for you listening right now, let's look at the dispatch covering Xiaomi. They're testing an experimental multi-device AI agent called Miqlaw.
Miqlaw, yes.
According to the newsletter, it is designed to synchronize context across your entire digital life, your phone, laptop, tablet, smartwatch, and smart home. How does that practically differ from the voice assistants we already have?
Voice assistants like Siri or Google Assistant are ultimately passive. They sit dormant until you utter a wake word, they execute one specific command like setting a timer, and then they go back to sleep. They have very little memory of what you were doing 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Miqlaw represents a persistent, active intelligence. The key word in the dispatch is context.
Give me an example of how that context synchronization plays out in a normal day.
Let's say you're on a commuter train, typing up the outline of a complex presentation on your phone. You arrive at your office, open your laptop, and simply say, flesh out the second slide with the sales data from last quarter.
And it just knows.
It knows. You don't have to explain which presentation you mean or where the sales data is located. The agent knows what you were just looking at on your phone. Later, you move to your tablet in a meeting room, and the agent is already pulling up the relevant visuals based on the conversation it is analyzing in real time. It holds the continuous thread of your workflow seamlessly across every single piece of hardware.
It's the difference between having an intern who needs explicit, step-by-step instructions for every single email and having a veteran chief of staff who intuitively knows how you operate and anticipates your needs before you even articulate them.
That is an excellent comparison. But embedding a chief of staff into our operating systems introduces a substantial layer of friction. The software capabilities are rapidly outpacing the hardware sitting on most people's desks.
Which brings us to a major collision point in today's stack. I want you to think about the computer you are listening to this deep dive on right now. Consider how fast it feels, and perhaps how much money you spent on it a year or two ago.
Yeah, hold on to that thought.
Now, imagine being told that, for the next generation of computing, it is virtually obsolete. That is the reality facing a large portion of the tech community with Microsoft's pivot for Windows 12. They are marketing Windows 12 as an AI-first operating system. And to run its core features, your machine is required to have a dedicated NPU.
The neural processing unit. This single requirement is creating a harsh dividing line between compatible and incompatible devices, the haves and the have-nots.
Before we get to the compatibility list from the sources, what exactly does an NPU do that a standard computer processor can't do?
Think of your computer's main processor, the CPU, as a busy city highway handling all the general traffic. Your web browser, your music player, your background apps.
Sure.
AI tasks involve incredibly dense repetitive math that can cause a massive traffic jam on that highway, slowing everything down and running right through your laptop's battery. An NPU is like building a specialized high-speed carpool lane dedicated exclusively to AI traffic.
Sure.
It handles those specific mathematical workloads with extreme efficiency, keeping the main highway clear and preserving your battery life.
That makes perfect sense functionally.
Yeah.
But the controversy stems from the processor compatibility list in this dispatch because it leaves some very high-end hardware out in the cold. If you recently bought a newer chip, specifically models like the Intel Core Ultra from the Meteor Lake series, the AMD Ryzen AI 300, or the Qualcomm Snapdragon X Elite, you are safe.
Right, those chips feature built-in NPUs.
But what happens if a user is running something slightly older but immensely powerful, like an Intel Core i9-14900K or an AMD Ryzen 9 7950s?
They are going to hit a wall. Those specific legacy chips are some of the most powerful, expensive consumer desktop processors ever manufactured.
They're beasts.
Absolute beasts. They can run demanding video games and render 4K video without breaking a sweat. Yet because they physically lack that dedicated NPU silicon, they will be heavily restricted or entirely unable to run the local AI features of Windows 12.
That is a shocker.
This raises an important question about consumer rights and the pace of technological cycles. We are staring down a forced industry-wide hardware upgrade cycle. Objectively speaking, there are two distinct ways this is being viewed in the community. Microsoft's stance is that localized AI is the undeniable foundation of future computing. To build a secure, fast, next-generation operating system, the processing has to happen on the device, not in the cloud.
Okay, that's their angle.
And to do that without crippling system performance, an NPU is a non-negotiable hardware requirement. From their perspective, it is a necessary leap forward.
But the flip side of that argument is coming from millions of deeply frustrated users, people who spent upwards of $600 on a flagship i9 or Ryzen 9 processor just a couple of years ago are furious. Their argument is that this is a textbook case of planned obsolescence.
Yes.
They feel the software requirements are being artificially inflated to render perfectly capable hardware obsolete, effectively coercing the public into buying new AI PCs. Know that we aren't taking sides here, but it's vital to see why both camps are digging in their heels.
The friction is absolutely palpable. It's a debate over whether the hardware limitation is a genuine technical necessity or a strategic financial lever pulled by the industry.
And honestly, the friction isn't just about hardware compatibility. There's a deeper psychological tension happening right now regarding how humans interact with the tools we are building. Nothing highlights this human paradox better than the survey statistics released at the Game Developers Conference, GDC 2026.
The GDC numbers offer a very sober look at the reality of working alongside advanced algorithms.
The stats are striking. According to the survey of game development studios, 68% of them are actively using AI in their daily workflows.
Wow.
Over two-thirds of the industry has adopted the tech. Yet, in that exact same survey, 53% of developers stated they believe AI is actively harming the gaming industry. How do you reconcile an industry where the vast majority of professionals are utilizing a tool daily while simultaneously believing that tool is destructive to their field?
When you look closely at the mechanics of modern game development, the contradiction makes complete sense. Building a modern video game involves a staggering amount of tedious, repetitive labor. Take texture generation or mesh optimization, for example.
Explain what those tasks look like for someone outside the gaming space.
Imagine a developer needing to design a massive digital castle. Mesh optimization involves meticulously tweaking the invisible wireframe of that castle so it doesn't crash the player's computer.
Tedious.
Very. And texture generation might involve spending days digitally hand-painting realistic moss and rust onto every single stone. It is exhausting, time-consuming work. AI handles those repetitive tasks brilliantly. It can generate the rust textures and optimize the wireframes in seconds, saving studios thousands of hours and substantial budget overhead.
So the adoption rate of 68% is purely driven by survival and efficiency.
Precisely. If a rival studio is using algorithms to cut their production timeline in half, your studio cannot afford to manually paint digital moss. The market forces demand adoption. But that very efficiency is what breeds the fear reflected in the 53% statistic.
Right.
Developers are terrified that the technology won't remain confined to the tedious tasks. The fear is that studio executives will eventually use these tools to encroach on and replace the human creative core of the industry. The narrative writing, the world building, the nuanced character design.
The soul of the game.
Yes. The Dispatch includes an anonymous quote from a developer that perfectly distills this tension. They said, "We use AI because we have to, but that doesn't mean we're happy about it."
We use it because we have to, but that doesn't mean we're happy about it. That captures the mood of the entire tech landscape right now. So what does this all mean? If we step back and look at the whole stack of Tick and Legion dispatches we've unpacked today, we're tracking three major threads. First, the demand for physical flexibility. Whether it's Lenovo's foldable screen giving us a console and a tablet in one, or Apple's M5 chip giving us desktop power with incredible battery life, consumers are refusing to compromise.
Second, we are navigating the agentic AI explosion. The paradigm shift from passive assistants that answer simple questions to autonomous agents that execute massive multi-step workflows. As Jensen Huang laid out, that shift is demanding a thousandfold increase in computational tokens, which will fundamentally strain our physical data centers and power grids.
And finally, the technology adoption paradox. The GDC survey proving that humans are entirely capable of deeply relying on and actively deploying technology that we inherently fear might replace us.
It is a critical reminder for all of us as we move forward. We are entering an era of persistent multi-device agents like Xiaomi's Mi Claw, and we are facing forced hardware migrations driven by operating systems like Windows 12. Through all of this, the ultimate priority must be demanding that these tools serve humanity, enhance our natural creativity, and actually improve our daily lives rather than just accelerating a corporate production line.
That is the perfect way to frame it. And that brings us to the bottom of our stack of dispatches for today. But before you go, I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over. We discuss Xiaomi's Mi Claw seamlessly transferring your tasks from your phone on the train to your laptop at work to your tablet on the couch. We discuss the massive data centers scaling up to process these continuous, autonomous decisions happening quietly in the background of your life. So my question to you is this. In the near future, where an AI agent is constantly reading your emails, anticipating your meetings, and executing workflows across all of your hardware.
Operating completely autonomously.
Exactly. Who actually owns the context of your daily life? Is it you? Is it the device manufacturer providing the ecosystem? Or is it the agent itself holding the memory of your digital existence? Think about it. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, and we will catch you next time.